So on page 1645, you'll find John 6, verse 16. And then we'll read there through verse 22. So we remember that they wanted to make Jesus king by force, and then Jesus slipped away, and then he departed to the mountain by himself to be alone. And then John, by the Holy Spirit, tells us, "Now when evening came, his disciples went down to the sea and got into the boat and went over the sea toward Capernaum, and it was already dark, and Jesus had not come to them. Then the sea arose, and because of a great wind was blowing, and so they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles. They saw Jesus walking on the sea and drawing near the boat, and they were afraid. But he said to them, 'It is I, do not be afraid.' Then they willingly received him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land where they were going." And we'll just read to there. Thus far, the reading of the Holy Word. Beloved congregation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we've been talking about John chapter 5 and chapter 6, where the prologue, the Word came into the world, and the world did not receive him. He was the light, and the darkness did not want him. He came to his own. They did not want him, but to those who receive him, he gives the right to be called the children of God, children not born of a natural father's will, but of our heavenly Father's will. And again, it comes to us. If I would ask all the little children here today, do you really think Jesus walked on the water? Do you think that's true? Do you think we can believe that? What about you older people? Do you really think that Jesus could walk on the water? And then once we've overcome that, then it's like, what did that look like? And we're not told. Or how did that happen? And what does it all mean? But then we can go to Scripture and find out what the meaning is today, that we need to see Jesus Christ this morning. And we need to see the wonder of who he is as he presents himself as the great I am. And that this is leading up to those great I am statements. The Lord willing, next week, I am the bread of life. That we need to see Jesus is provocative. You either believe in Jesus or you do not believe in Jesus. Today is the day of salvation. Choose now. You need to choose now, even just simply on the basis of the reading of this piece of Scripture. Do you believe or don't you? And if you do believe, praise the living God, because it's not of you. It's not because your father or your mother decided that you were born or because of something amazing in your intellect, because intellect, science tells us that men don't walk on water, and we'll see that there's people who try to get out of it or re-describe the miracle that's here. Remember, John doesn't use the word miracle so much, he uses the word sign, something, it's pointing to something, it's symbolic of something, of the marvel of the light coming into the darkness. That's our theme, really, that Jesus walked on the water to bring comfort to his disciples, and we'll see the boat in the darkness. But then we'll see the boat and the light. So let's take a look at that boat in the darkness. So context again, Jesus has just fed the 5,000. We're a day after the 12 have returned from their first missionary journey. And we remember they saw great and amazing things, things beyond their imagination. And Jesus is working on them to build their faith, to build their understanding of him, that they may grow in their imagination of what God can do, what Jesus can do through them, and that God and Jesus are together. Jesus had fed the 5,000 people. Really, we said maybe between 10 and 20,000 people. And when he asked those disciples, "What shall we feed them with?" And then we remember that they said, "Well, we don't have enough money. It would take two-thirds of a year to make that kind of money, and then people would only have a little bit." And then another came, Philip came, right, and he said, "Well, here's a young boy, and he's got 2 fishes, and he's got 5 loaves, but what is that?" And Jesus said, "Our Father who art in heaven, thank you for this food and drink." Amen. It was way more than enough. Everybody was fed and beyond, and those disciples, each one of them had a basket to take home, abundance and superabundance. Disciples, people in Zion this morning, don't limit God. Grow in your imagination of the things that he can do. Well, the people wanted to make him king, and Jesus wasn't interested in being their king. Remember, if Jesus had fed the people with the bread from heaven, like the new Moses, he had also said to his disciples, my food and drink is to do the work of the Father who sent me. Remember, he was talking at that place about the water for the woman at the well. And if you drink of that water, you'll never thirst. And then the bread that Jesus would give to them so that they would never hunger. But he needs to be busy doing the things of the Heavenly Father. And at that point, remember we said, and we said it last week, that Jesus is not going to take the easier, softer route. If he's going to be the King of the Jews, he will be the King of the Jews on God the Father's terms. I need to be about my Father's work. I need to be about humiliation. I need to be about Golgotha and the cross and a horrible death so that I can resurrect from the dead, that we could say, the Lord lives, blessed be the name of the Lord. This is our Lord. This is our Savior. This is our Jesus. He slips away. The people do not mandate the king. God mandates the king, and Jesus goes to the one who mandated him, and he slips away. Don't you find that interesting that Jesus, how often he slips away to be in solitude with his Heavenly Father? And I think of that sometimes, this week especially, well, actually the last 2 weeks. How much time do I spend? How much time do you spend alone with the Father? Because you're busy. And there's people to love, and people to take care of, funerals to plan this week, prayer services, coming together, people in, people out, work to do, school to take care of, studies to take care of. It's busy. University students are ramping up into that last time. Exams are coming. Papers are due. Labs are having to get finished. There's just so much to do. And you get up in the morning and all of a sudden it's the end of the day again. And maybe a quick prayer at night because you want to eat something to help you sleep. I always think about that. What does it mean when we pray and fall asleep? Is that okay? I think sometimes that's okay. That you're so at peace with God, you just slip quietly, and you feel like on this side of the glory, you're in the arms of Jesus. But beloved, how often do we spend time alone? This is Jesus, the Son of God, who became the Son of Man. And he needs to get away from his disciples. Some of the commentators think, and especially the older commentators think, that Jesus needed to separate himself from them, and then separate the disciples from the people because the disciples are starting to get wrapped up in all of this. Jesus is protecting himself, and the way to be protected in temptation is to spend time with your Heavenly Father in prayer and meditation and thinking about him. And the disciples, well, they go in the boat, and they're waiting, and it's getting dark. And then the scientists will tell you all about the Sea of Galilee, so that it's in a bowl, so to speak, kind of like a water valley. And it's not very deep, and it holds the heat. Some people say that the way it's set up, it's like a chimney, and it directs heat this way and that way. And then sometimes in the evening or in the cool of the day or when different winds blow, cool air comes and mixes, and that creates great tempests. Surging waters. All of a sudden, everything grows. That it's just quite normal, really, that the Sea of Galilee is moving and being whipped up into a frenzy. It's a storm. But what do you believe about that? What do you think about that? It's why I had you sing Psalm 107. It's interesting what you sang. The tune was beautiful. I hope you could hear the words. When he saw, he gave the command. A tempest rose and stirred the mighty sea. The ships were lifted up on high and plunged down in the deep. Their courage quickly fled away, for dreadful danger loomed. They reeled and lurched like drunken men. They knew not what to do. They cried unto the Lord in grief. He saved them from distress. He stilled the storms. He calmed the waves and brought the sea to rest. God the Father is going to make this a revelation moment. God the Father is working together with the Son. The Son says, my brothers, you need to go in the boat, and you need to go. I'm going to spend some time with my Father. And the Father is now going to work with the disciples and say, what do you believe about my son? John, I want you to remember these things, and I'm going to inspire you by my Spirit to write them down. What happened in that moment? And the waves come up, and the rain is pouring down. And these men, as we read in the Gospel of Mark, and also in Matthew, are filled with fear. And remember, these are seasoned fishermen. That this is no little storm. They know what to do. But this is disconcerting. But the difference between Matthew and Mark's account and then the account of John is that you are in the boat with the disciples, feeling the disciples' anguish with the other two Gospels. In John, you're sitting in the boat, but you're supposed to see Jesus. It's really beautifully done. It's really a remarkable piece of literature, how God moved John to do this. Now, you need to put yourself in that boat. We would be scared. We would be wondering, where is Jesus? We need to go. We need to get out of here. We've got to go soon. We're going to have to leave without him. And you're pulling and you're straining and you're going across the lake. And then, all of a sudden, you see someone walking on the water. Now, the liberal commentators will tell you that Jesus was just walking along the shore so they could see him because they were just staying along the shore. But that doesn't make sense, because the way they would have to go across the lake and the nature of the language is they're in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. Jesus is actually walking to them. And the sense of the language is that even though the waves are doing all this crazy stuff, when Jesus walks, it's a smooth path right in front of him. That he's not getting wet. That he doesn't seem to be getting blown by the wind. He's just simply walking to them. And they look. And what is the imagination of their faith? It's a ghost. It's an apparition. It's something evil. It's something bad. It's something supernatural. Haven't we seen together in John's gospel, they always take and see all the signs and everything they see literally. They have no sense. There's no imagination that Jesus, who is the Son of God, who turns water into wine, who can feed 5,000 people, who can heal the sick and raise the dead, who can give them that sort of power even to take care of the demons. Who is that? And now they're filled with fear. That's the darkness in the boat. And beloved, when Jesus comes to us, we are also in that kind of darkness. When Jesus Christ comes to us without faith, if we have not that Holy Spirit, if we don't have that kind of discernment, we would never understand it. We would never receive him until Jesus came into your life and said, "It is I. Don't be afraid. It's I." And then they can receive him into the boat. For all of you who believe, for all of you who confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, at some point in your life, Jesus Christ came to you in the darkness of the death that was your life, in the death that was your sin, in the brokenness of your life. At some point, Jesus came to you and said, "It is I. Don't be afraid." And for all of you who don't, this morning Jesus is saying to you, "It is I. Don't be afraid." This is John who wrote this. And do you remember what happens when John goes up this afternoon or this evening? We're going to hear from Revelation. What happens when John goes up into Revelation and then he hears the voice of multitudes of water and thundering? He hears the voice of Jesus. He even got to see the Jesus that he saw here, but now in his glorious standing, and he falls as though dead. He's filled with fear. And then what does Jesus say to him? "Don't worry. Don't be afraid. It is I. It's me, John." And he lifts him up. And he says it's okay. John Calvin sees in this moment the final day on the face of the earth. When Jesus Christ comes again with the sound of trumpet, and we sang it together, the skies being rolled back as a cloud with thunder and lightning and power, and the whole world will see him, and he will come down. And beloved, if you're on the earth, when he comes down, what will you say? Are you ready? Because there's two ways he's going to come. One is he's going to come to you in your death, when he comes to a Henry and he says, "It's I." And Henry says, "Yes, come in the boat and take me home." But what of you? When he comes again, will you be ready? Do you look forward to it? For we read with the Belgic Confession, "Therefore the consideration of this judgment is justly terrible and dreadful to the wicked and the ungodly." And we sing together, "Day of wonder, day of judgment, hark the trumpet's awful sound, louder than a thousand thunders, shakes the vast creation round. How the summons will the sinner's heart confound when Jesus Christ comes down and he says, 'It is I.'" And we'll say, "Yes, it is. It is well. It is well with my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin not in part, but all is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Oh, Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sight. My faith not in part, but the whole. The trump shall resound, and Christ will come down. It is well. It is well with my soul." Are you in a place of deep darkness right now, in anguish, of sorrow, of difficulty? Are you in the boat of the tempest and the sorrows and the struggles of your life? And Jesus says to you, "It's I. Don't be afraid." And they invited him into the boat, and the seas were stilled. And it seems that they were rapidly brought to the other side. It was all finished. And it was all done. In Mark's account, you get that sense, right? Of peace be still. Literally, shut up. I'm tired of you sins and waves and all of that. And it's deathly quiet. And then in Mark's gospel, it says they looked and they were in awe and they were in marvel. They couldn't figure it out because they still hadn't understood about the feeding of the 5,000. Their imaginations still weren't there. But we know Christ now. We know, look, Christ can walk on water. And we know that because Christ rose from the dead. And we know that Christ ascended into heaven. And we know that Christ is coming again. We know this word. This word is revealed to us. He's the light of the world coming into the darkness of that boat. And when he came to his own, in this case, received him by the will of the Heavenly Father who sent that storm, who sent his Son, and sent that peace like a river glorious. See Jesus then, because that's what you need to see in the story. The darkness in that boat. And now the light in that boat. We note then that Jesus says, "It is I." And certainly in the heat of that struggle, as they're straining against the oars, they hear that Jesus is simply saying, "It's me, Jesus." But I think for some of you, and I hope I can bring you along now, as F.F. Bruce says, there's no doubt that that's what the disciples hear. I don't think that the disciples hear, "I am," but that's actually what it says in the Greek. It says, "Ego, a me." What's an egomaniac? He's a person who is completely crazy about himself. Ego. A me is the word for is. So literally, Jesus said, "I am." And on the one hand, we would say, okay, let's not overdo. But on the other hand, where are we headed? We're getting set up for those "I am" statements in the Gospel of John, 7 of them. "I am the bread of life." What did we hear this morning? What did God say to Israel when we read the law? "I am the Lord your God." Which you can understand that existentially, that's who he is, but you can also hear that as Yahweh, I am that I am. Or I have a friend in the southern United States who always says, I is what I is. That's who God is. That's a remarkable thing. It really, really is that God defines himself by the infinitive verb. I am. And now Jesus says, I am. Don't be afraid. Now back to Psalm 107. Now we're going to read it from the actual scripture. They saw the works of the Lord, his wonderful deeds in the deep. For he spoke and stirred up a tempest that lifted on high the waves. They mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths, and in their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunken men. They were at their wit's end. They were in darkness. And what did they do? They cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. And they were glad when it grew calm. And he guided them to their desired haven. Can you miss it? Is this not a fulfillment of Psalm 107? Not only were the waves stilled, not only were the winds hushed, but they arrived at their haven. And who did it? Jesus did it. Together with the Father, doing the Father's work. But the Word is God. The Word is creative. He's providential. He has power over everything. He already is Lord of lords and King of kings. He's already supreme over. If we saw him last week as the new Moses, now we see him as the new Adam who's overcoming the curse of God upon the planet. Because now we have storms, and now we have fear, and now we have difficulty, and now we have darkness. But he beams this light into that dark storm. And now Jesus is saying, not simply to you, it is I, but I am. Do you believe that I am God, who together with the Father and the Son is to be worshipped and to be glorified? Then when Jesus Christ comes again and he says, it is I, he's also going to say, I am. I am the judge of the living and of the dead. And as I see it, it will be. And if you don't invite me into the boat now, be afraid. Because the port where you'll end up is the ports of hell. But if by the power of the Spirit you invite this I am God into your boat. You see God and Christ working together, the Holy Spirit working with you, and then we say, please, come in. And we have peace. And we have hope. And we have something now in this Jesus that helps us to go on. And he did this for the disciples. No one else in the world saw it at that moment. Nobody. Just God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, Jesus I am, and 12 disciples in a boat. And Jesus showed himself to those 12 that three of them would write it down so that this morning you and I could read about it. You and I could understand it. You and I can see Scripture in light of Scripture is always pregnant, full of that light, the beauty, and the marvel of the Word. Oh Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. You struggling, sorrowful, anxious, broken? Do you fear for your eternal well-being? Do you look forward to the coming of Jesus Christ, or you dread it? And how many people do you know that aren't even aware of it? That Jesus is going to come to them in life and in death and in the afterlife and on the great day of judgment, and they have no clue and they're not ready. Some of them do know and they don't even care. But our great task is to tell them about Jesus who can walk on water, who says, it is I am. Take me, embrace me, and love me. You have a story again to go out into the week to prepare your friends and your neighbors and wandering family members. Like, this is real stuff. This is powerful stuff. And this is the stuff that gets us through the night as we look into the beauty of a glorious morning, of a world with no end. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. See the light in the darkness. See the darkness in the boat, and the darkness in that boat dispelled by the light in the boat of our hopes and our lives and our souls. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we pray that you would send Jesus quickly, that we would all be ready, that we would all embrace, and that we would take him in here as a congregation into the boats of our lives, and that you would fast forward us into the havens of glory. Let none here, Father, be missed. Let none here, Father, miss the boat. Now, Father in heaven, we pray that you would take this word and make it real. Let us see Christ. Let us live out of Christ. Bring us together this evening. We pray, God, a blessing as Pastor Belsman will bring us further into the things of glory as we see it in the book of Revelation, that today we can say it was good to be together with your people, rejoicing with those who rejoice, weeping with those who weep. And Father, looking forward to the day when all of that will be changed and we will live with Christ forever. We're looking forward to the great harbor of hope and peace and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.